Hi, I'm Ruthie,
and I have a recorder.
Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and leave the circle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-Bud too. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. And that's today. Thanks for tuning in to Out There. Today's show, the first part, I'm going to talk a little bit about the weather berries in water conservation, or other people are going to talk about it too. I got a little clip from Blanche Derby and from Russ Massey. And then the second two-thirds of the show, I think, will probably be stuff from last night's Black Lives Matter rally in front of City Hall in downtown Northampton. I guess maybe I'm going to start. You know, last week on the show, I talked about how annoyed, though I hope I didn't sound too annoyed, but oh yeah, how annoyed I was with all the cups, the plastic cups that are always in the recycling. On Wednesday mornings, I do pedal people and I empty the recycling barrels. Though I should probably call them trash barrels because they're actually like two-thirds trash sometimes, it seems, with all the plastic cups that aren't recyclable. And last week I ran into a truck driver from Alternative Recycling Systems who was a recycling truck driver, and I asked him, I'm going to replay this little 45-second clip from him about trash in the recycling.
You got to see the stuff we see. It's crazy.
Like what?
Plastic seats, everything.
Oh, stuff that people try to put in the recycling?
Oh, yeah, chairs.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Plastic bags is the biggest one. Thank God we're allowed 10%. After 10%, it's rejected. A load is rejected.
So if people put trash like plastic cups in the recycling?
It's considered 10% trash, cardboard. If you got a mix of a cardboard into a plastic load, it's 10%.
Have you ever had a load rejected?
Yes.
What do you do with it?
It goes to trash, a whole load.
Whole load.
Whole load.
So I just wanted to replay that clip. If you couldn't hear it, the sound was kind of hard. But he was saying how if the recycling load is more than 10% non-recyclables, the entire load gets trashed. So that's why they say, when in doubt, throw it out. All right. Now, moving on. I'm going to go through these clips. Here's a yard sign on the corner of Prospect Street and Barrett Place. It says, save water, eat plants. Vegan diet, okay, this is average water footprint. Vegan diet uses 400 gallons per day compared to the standard diet, which uses 1,000 gallons of water per day. Source is National Geographic online, National Geographic water tips. And there's another website, truthordrought.com. I don't know if they're including also the additional water, hot water it takes to wash dishes from animal, greasy animal fats. Yeah, I guess coconut oil is kind of hard to wash too. Okay, so the next little clip is from my coworker, Russ Massey. He moonlights as a bartender.
Yeah, so burning ice is like basically every bar, restaurant, food service, anything that has a bin of ice, you know, bar like you scoop out of your well and make drinks. Mm-hmm. At the end of the night, generally, people run the hot water onto the ice to burn the ice off. Basically, you know, at the end of it, you want to make sure that there's no broken glass in there and you're not putting those in drinks or food particles, but then you clean the bin. But it's an absolutely ridiculous practice because people just put on the hot water and just go about their business and do everything else. And even when the ice is burned off, the hot water is just still burning ice. So you're using, wow, it's just the most ridiculous thing in the world, using hot water, that energy, to burn ice. And creating ice takes a lot of energy too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When people
go out to the bar and have ice in their drink, they should keep in mind not just the energy it takes to make the ice, but the energy it takes to burn the leftover ice.
Sure. And there hasn't been anything really put in place, you know, to fix that. The ice can be used in other places, A. Or don't load up your ice bin at the end of the night when you're going to be closing soon. Yeah. And I've, you know, consider things like, and I need to research more about the energy costness, but like, you know, a low, super low wattage, some sort of strip that could be laid at the bottom of the ice bins that could come morning time over the course of the night, it's been melted or something to that effect. I don't know, but just using those two energies to cancel each other out is really strange. And it happens all day, everywhere. Huh. You know, a lot of people, I think the philosophy is, you know, you got to finish your shift and, but you can walk in the next morning and do that task. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And clean out that bin. It doesn't have to happen that night. Another option would be to, you know, take it and even if you took it and just put it outside and let it melt, it's a better solution, you know, than
in the summer or whatever.
Yeah. And where I also moonlight when work, I just hear that sound and it's
the hot water gushing on the ice.
And now I call people on it. I say, what's going on here? What are you doing? And I try to educate and say, hey, you know, you're using these two energies and they're canceling out. I said, you know, if you have coffee that you've been, and it's end of night and that coffee, if you're going to throw that out, why not use that? That's existing hot water energy, you know? There's just, you know, even room temperature things, you know, that'll help to help do it. And so now last time I went in and I said, you know, this, you're not running the hot water. I could just tell. And they said, well, we don't do that anymore. You know,
I said,
yeah, it worked. And you know, that made me feel good. I was with my buddy Kyle and we just finished having dinner and I was, myself and my partner and Kyle and his wife and their kiddos. And it was do the dishes time. And it was, I just kept hearing, and that's the water, just the running water. Cause it was dishes time. And then I would push it down, you know, I'd turn it off and then Kyle would be absorbed and come back, turn it back on, leave it on
and walk away
you know, do a dish and walk away. It's just running. So I would turn it off. And finally he says, what are you doing? And I said, what are you doing? Do the dishes. I said, no, you're wasting right now, more or less. And I he said, no, you know, he didn't understand. He said, the water just goes back into the ground. You know, it didn't see past the fact that it's just water. We have tons of it. And it doesn't matter how much I run, it goes back into the ground. So then I tried educating him about, you know, that water, it doesn't just go back in the ground. It gets retreated, you know, because it gets mixed in, like we were saying, with all the other dirty water, I guess you'd say, toilet water, all that stuff, gets retreated. So all that takes a massive amount of energy. And especially if it's hot water, the energy used to create that hot water is astounding. So waste is waste, you know. And he still was like, nah, it doesn't matter. And I said, okay, Kyle. All this waste, all this energy, you know, it tethers us to other countries for oil is one thing, you know, kind of a part of that. But also, the reason why I'm asking you to not run this hot water, and then you could tell other people, it's not for your kids. It's not for you. It's for your kids' kids. It's just longevity and sustainability. And, you know, Earth's going to be here. The people part of it, you know, we got to work hard to make sure that that's a fact. And he said, I get it. And he kind of like came to terms with like, you know, when I hit home about family and kids and longevity, it made sense. And I saw that light bulb go on, the solar powered light bulb, you know. But if you haven't been trained or thought of it, if you just don't think about it, you don't think about it. But once you know, you can't unknow. And once you know, now you have the responsibility because you're choosing to do that.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Valley Free Radio. That was just a clip from my coworker and neighbor, Russ Messi. This is Out There. every Wednesday from 4 to 5 out there airs. And let's see, Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM. Let's see, I got another piece from Blanche Derby.
Hi.
Hey, Blanche.
Nibbling, as usual.
So I came biking around the corner, and there's Blanche Derby and her bike. And she's eating something. What are you eating today?
I'm eating some soft red raspberries. They're pretty small this year, though, because of the drought, unfortunately. But they're still coming along.
Yeah. What else have you found recently?
I have found some black cap raspberries, but I've had to look really, really hard because most of them are just really seedy because this hasn't been much rain.
Yeah.
And the greens are pretty much gone by now, so this is some middle time. I'm waiting for the blackberries to come. Hopefully there'll be some more rain during that time.
Yeah. Have you noticed if any immediate responses of the berries to yesterday's rain or the little bit of rain we got last week?
I think so. I think they're swelling up a little bit. But I think also I've noticed this year there's been an amazing amount of wildlife. Chipmunks, squirrels, birds, and they are looking for food too.
Yeah.
So, and I think the mild winter that we had was good for their reproduction. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of the little critters running around as competition as well.
Yeah, there's not like many apples on the trees or anything like that either. Do you think there'll be starvation of the wildlife come this fall or winter?
I hope not. They're pretty good at finding things. I mean, even I saw birds eating June berries that weren't even ripe. So there are a lot of berries around still, and probably by fall there'll be some that have swelled up from rain and worms and insects. And so hopefully, you know, they'll be okay. And if the winter's rough, then that'll be a way of lessening the population.
Anything else you want to share?
Oh, I don't know. I just think it's just great to get outside, no matter if I find anything or not. It's just wonderful to ride my bike and go searching and looking for stuff, meeting people like you.
Thanks.
If you're interested in edible wild plants, I have almost 50 YouTube videos on that subject, and they're fairly short, and they've been filmed around here in the Northampton area. And the way you can get to them, I believe, is if you go to YouTube and put my name, which is Blanche Derby, in the search engine, then they'll come up and you'll be able to see them. And you may recognize some places that are local. And I also have several books in the libraries around here. So again, just look up my name on the internet and in the library websites, and you'll find my books and films. I made 3 films.
Cool. Thanks. So that was Blanche Derby. You may see her around town on her bicycle with the baskets on the back, nibbling fruits and berries and greens and who knows what else. Ask her what she's eating, and maybe you can learn something. So I wanted to play a song about rain and berries and rain, a rain song, because we can sure use some rain. Oh, I wanted to give another rain tip. A lot of garden watering is happening now, but just wanted to encourage people to water. The deep, less frequent watering is better than frequent, shallow watering because it encourages the roots to go deep and not just hover shallow at the surface. All right, so I was looking for a song about rain. I was thinking about some nature kind of song, you know, rain and berries and all. Well, I'm going to play The Weather Girls. The video is really funny.
Getting low.
How low, girl?
the weather girls. Hope it'll start raining rain any day now. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. For the next part of my show, well, I'm going to play another couple of announcements here. Let me play this piece about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center art show. It's that's going on this week. This is Rose Bookbinder talking at the opening that they had this past Sunday.
We hope you'll come down and see a photo and audio art exhibit that highlights the voices and faces of workers who make and serve our food. The show is called No Somos Máquinas, or We Are Not Machines. It's up from July 10th through 16th at the APE Gallery in Northampton on Main Street. And the gallery hours are Monday through Saturday, 12 to 5 p.m. We have a couple exciting events happening during the week. On Wednesday, there's the showing of The Hand That Feeds that documents a group of undocumented food service workers in New York City that fight for respect and dignity and a union. And that show is from 6 to 7 p.m. And then the gallery will be open following that from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And then on Friday, we have a really exciting joint event with the Food Chain Workers Alliance that's titled Voices from the Food Chain. And there'll be a dynamic panel from 6 to 7 p.m. with workers, farm owners, food justice advocates, and others to talk about how we can merge our movements, whether it's you're a farm owner that's trying to farm locally or you're a worker fighting for your rights, how we can support each other's work. And that will be from 6 to 7 p.m., and then there'll be some music following that from 7 to 8. And then our closing is on Saturday from 6 to 10. There'll just be music and refreshments and an opportunity to view the show in the evening.
Cool. That's on Saturday the 16th here at the ABE Gallery.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another announcement I would like to make. Well, this is sort of like it's a not happening announcement. Many of you may have been to the free harvest supper on the Greenfield Town Commons in past years, but this year, for the first August since 2005, there won't be a harvest supper. The volunteer organizing committee met and decided there weren't enough organizers to do the work of planning a locally sourced meal for 1,000 people. Since it started, the event has been coordinated by an ad hoc group of volunteers who work for 4 or 5 months before the supper. The supper was made possible by the tireless work of the organizing committee, Hope and Olive team, and many volunteers. Each year's supper was created from food donated by over 50 local farms and food producers. And each year, the supper raised funds for the Farmers Market Coupon Program, coordinated by the Center for Self-Reliance Food Pantry to provide food to hungry families. The Free Harvest Supper was initiated by Juanita Nelson as a way to celebrate the local harvest and encourage people to eat locally grown food. So, unfortunately, that won't be happening this August. Who knows what will come next in that vein. All right, so, here's another thing.
There's a poster in the window of Shop Therapy at 189 Main Street in downtown Northampton. It's red, white, and blue, and it's got the picture, a classic picture of Uncle Sam with a top hat with a star on it, looking intently at the viewer with his finger out and saying, "I want you to stop being afraid of other Americans, other religions, other classes, other nations, speaking out, government, the truth, the media. You're Americans. Act like it."
All right, so for the rest of this show here on Valley Free Radio, I'm going to play some clips from last night's Black Lives Matter rally, or it was actually organized by American Friends Service Committee. And the first speaker, I actually started recording in the middle of his talk because I got there late, is Zion Barber, a student at Northampton High School. I think one of the leaders of the Student of Color Association in Northampton High School.
So many children do not have the resources to really make it out of the hood, which leads people to a life of crime. Imagine if your people were forced into communities and given no support for over 100 years, then obviously it will have a huge impact on your community. That is what is currently happening to Black people in America. A lot of us have no other way out. We either have to work two jobs and barely get by, or sell drugs and eat well for us and our family. Steal or starve. And do those sound like choices to you? Of course not. No. Of course not. Survival isn't a choice, nor should it be political. We don't receive education required to learn how to build our community back up, and the donation money only goes so far when there isn't systematic change to make sure that that money is getting put back into our community. So, thank you. So basically, we're stuck. We're stuck. We really are. We often have to live in a separate underground economy that has to disobey the system that ignores it in order to survive. We can't let this cycle prevail, or else we could, and by looking at the way things are, will lose many more. So we need to open up this dialogue. We need to force change. We need to help our people of color. We have to work together. Because as long as our brothers are forced into a life of crime, the government will continue to justify our genocide. I am not a thug because of the color of my skin, and a person of color is not a bad person because they have a criminal history. Rest in peace to those who have fallen, and remember the ones in front of the gun lives forever in the memories and the melodies of the people. Thank you.
Zion Barber.
Well, Elisa Klein is going to have to follow that. Elisa Klein is serving her second term as a city councilor in Northampton. When she spoke at here on the City Hall steps in November of 2014 after the Ferguson grand jury didn't indict Darryl Wilson for Michael Brown's murder, some of you may remember, I do, that she came under attack by the local police union and others for speaking out as an elected official. But thankfully, she is reelected, and she is back here again today to continue to say no to systematic and institutional racism and do what she feels is her civic duty as an elected official. So thank you, Elisa. Welcome, Northampton. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot. Welcome to all of you who are from Northampton. Shout out if you're from Northampton. From other cities in Western Massachusetts. Other parts of Massachusetts besides Western Massachusetts. Other parts of the country. Okay. I'm honored to be on the steps of City Hall here with these articulate and talented activists and scholars. Thank you for your words and commitment to all of you that have spoken and that are about to speak. And to all of you who came here today to say no to the extinguishment of Black lives. The last time we gathered here for a similar rally was November 24th, 2014, the day after the Ferguson grand jury's non-indictment of Darryl Wilson, the police officer who shot Michael Brown, an 18-year-old Black man. By my calculations, that was 595 days ago, that's 14,280 hours ago, and in that span of just 14,000 hours, according to the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement report, Operation Ghetto Storm, 510 unarmed Black people have been killed by law enforcement, security guards, and vigilantes in this country. Over the last year and a half, almost 1 million Black men and women were incarcerated. In their lifetimes, one in every three, almost one in every two, almost one in every two Black men are going to be incarcerated in their lifetimes. This is the extinguishment of Black lives that I'm talking about. The New York Times calls it disappearance of Black men. More than one out of every six Black men who today should be 25 and between 25 and 54 years old have disappeared from daily life. That's from the New York Times. For instance, in Ferguson, Missouri, as an example, there are 60 men for every 100 Black women in this age group. And it's due to early death, and it's due to being behind bars, and it's due to racism. If you're wondering, you want to compare that to white people? The equivalent number is 99 men for every 100 women in this age group. Back in 1972, in his book, No Name in the Street, James Baldwin called this one when he wrote, "The truth is that this country does not know what to do with the black population. Now that the blacks are no longer a source of wealth, are no longer to be bought and sold and bred like cattle, and they especially do not know what to do with young black men. It is not at all accidental that the jails and the army and the needle claim so many, but there are still too many for the public's comfort." And I want to give a shout out to my friend Bill, where are you, from Florence, who shared that quote with me, Bill Brown. There are so many other ways, none of them accidental, in which black lives have been and are always being extinguished in this country. Police killings of black men and women are just one symptom, and periodically it becomes the most visible symptom of the deeply entrenched and institutionalized racism that sits at the core of the power structure in our country. This racism that is responsible for the extinguishment of black lives is evident in our educational institutions, how neighborhoods and especially ghettos have been constructed using the tool of institutionalized discrimination, in access to housing and in loans, in our political structures and actions both domestically and internationally, as Romina spoke about, in the dismantlement of black families, and in the persistent fear that black people are forced to endure every day in this country. Racialized structures of privilege and access in the US have enormous impact on the well-being of black lives and are responsible for the excessive extinguishment of those black lives. That extinguishment has an enormous impact on all of our lives by narrowing our voices and our perspectives in our communities. The great civil rights organizer Ella Baker said in 1964, "Until the killing of black men, black mothers' sons becomes as important to the rest of the country as the killing of white mothers' sons, we who believe in freedom cannot rest."
I'm sorry. Can we speak?
Can I finish?
Yeah.
And then?
Absolutely. That sounds great. Thank you. Thank you.
We need to understand the modern forms of race oppression and slavery, policing, the courts, and the prison industrial complex that affect black people in today's society. We need to confront the connection between poverty and racism. We need to question establishment narratives and access our news and analysis from sources beyond the mainstream. We need to work harder together. Hard together to get people of color into positions of power in our school systems, in our business community, in the media, in our government, and in all public and private institutions. After I spoke here in 2014, as Lois said, I came under attack by the local police union and others who said that as a public official, I should not critique the police. I said then and I say now, it's my duty to speak about and work against racism in all its manifestations, as it is the duty of the Northampton Police Department to do as well.
Hello, my name is Afro Panther. I'm a prominent member of this community, and this is V.
Hi. So, I just want to say, for one, I don't really care if you like this, but when I speak, I don't want any cheering or clapping from any white people. And for two, putting black people and people of color in power would have been to maybe stop giving your speech and let us speak instead. Because it's our lives. We're being killed. We are under the pressure every day. I am terrified to exist in this world, to travel. And what are you really doing outside of coming to these vigils? Are you educating yourself every day? Are you holding yourself accountable? When's the last time you checked your privilege? You can't come to these white savior benefits. No white people, just making sure. You can't come to these white savior benefits and then think you're doing your part, because you're not. This is bullshit. And where's the other people of color? Come up here.
Yes. Actions speak louder than words. Again, actions speak louder than words. I have had numerous encounters with the police in this town. And you think that this doesn't happen here in Northampton. We're so liberal, we're so caring, we're so blah, blah, blah. It's not true. I could not get my license back for a week from the police when they illegally took it. Do you understand that this is such an issue here? We are black people living in here while you guys are coming to these functions, and what are you really doing? Actions speak louder than words. This is not a rally, yay, feel good for ourselves because we stand up for racial justice, but where are you? Where are you? Please, where are you? When I needed you guys to tell the police that I'm not a criminal, where are you? Please. Yeah, please, please talk.
Thank you for giving me the time. I heard a few people say, stand up. It's not right. And no, it's not right. And we should stand up. But as blacks, especially black males, you know how hard it is to stand up without getting your ass kicked? I see people, and I just want to say, I see people. I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, whatever you may be. If I hit you in your mouth, you'll still bleed red. I'm not a violent person, but at the same time, we need more than just whites. I made a statement to my girlfriend just a little while ago, and she's Caucasian. If you like it or not, oh well. But I made the statement to her that it's not enough black faces out here. And everybody, you know, I believe in it too, Black Lives Matter, but if black voices are not up here speaking about Black Lives Mattering, they don't. You know, so thank you for y'all for listening to me for this 1 second. My man is strong brother right here. Y'all listen to him.
So whoever wants to clap, will clap. If you don't want to clap, don't clap. At least for me. Me, my name's Izzy. I'm a member of the community. I'm black, as you can see. That's probably the only reason I'm up here speaking to you. Which is actually really sad, and it's actually the problem. For me, personally, what I believe is that racism is a very ugly thing, and it's kind of like one of the things that came out of Pandora's box, and it can't be put back in. I don't think any amount of clapping or protesting is gonna fix this.
Absolutely.
What I propose is simply mankind as a whole, we're just like children still, no matter how far we've gone. No matter how many iPhones and cell phones we have, how many jets we put in the air, we're children playing around with things we don't know anything about. So I propose, like children, that we be separated, because racism is a thing. And until black people can be separated and create their own image besides what you see on the media, and can have their own power and their own way of life and their own culture separate from white supremacy, then you're not gonna see anything change.
They just need to stop stealing it.
I mean, exactly, but we're talking about, even like statistically, there's not been another black community like Black Wall Street since integration has come into power. It just has not happened. Problem, solution. We can try and put a band-aid on things, but the wound's still there. You gotta stitch it up, you gotta sew it shut, and you gotta make there, keep it clean, you know? So it's just problem, solution, that's my proposal. Until we can print our own money and put people like Harriet Tubman on our own $20 bills,
absolutely,
then there really is no point in doing anything. Because we're going to keep falling victim to unemployment, being not hired for names like Ishmael Salam, which is my name. You feel me? So that's just the problem. We need to build on our own. We need a time apart. And maybe then we can learn to respect each other, because we're just not doing it. I mean, looking at the situation of the news in the week, it's a hideous thing. And as far as police brutality goes, you're never gonna find any municipality or government that's gonna take the people that are protecting them and what they have as interests and punish them more while doing their job. You're just not gonna find it. It's not gonna happen. It didn't happen in Rome, and it's not gonna happen here. Problem, solution. You feel me? Peace.
And real quick, to get rid of this binary system of men and women, okay? As a black trans person standing before you today, black trans lives matter. Black trans women are the number one victims of police brutality. Don't forget that. It's not black men. It is black trans women. Yes. Remember that. Yes. Remember that. Rest in power to everybody.
If you just tuned in, you've been listening to clips from last night's rally event in front of City Hall in downtown Northampton. This is out there on Valley Free Radio. It's also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. Democracy Now! Will be coming up at 5 o'clock. I got a few more clips and a song I'm going to play for the end of the hour. Thanks for listening.
Our next speaker is Usman Power Green, who lives here in Northampton and is a member of the Education Committee of the David Ruggles Center in Florence. He's currently working with folk there to make Florence's radical history more well-known locally and nationally. Work for that. He teaches courses in American history at Clark University. Thank you for coming.
My name is Usman Power Green. It's wonderful to go after my brother here, Toussaint. Has a lot of wisdom and knowledge about these things in terms of his scholarship and his work. When the previous people came up, I thought to myself, that's part of our problem. We really struggle with having any sort of different opinions, right? We spend a lot of time around people who share our ideas, and when someone says something that disrupts it or does it in a way that makes us feel uncomfortable, a lot of times we push back, we get very upset. Who are they to take the mic, right? Instead of just embracing, hey, we're in a rally, right? We're in the public, right? Just go in the public, right? So, you know, we must embrace that, right? Even if we disagree, right? Democracy, you're supposed to be able to disagree. And so hopefully we're fostering that by allowing people to participate. They said I had 5 minutes. I told them I couldn't do anything in 5 minutes. But real quick, you know, some of us spend a lot of time thinking about these issues. Some of us do it professionally. But one thing about living in Northampton for about 15 years, I know, is there are tremendous resources, right? Some of, I'm preaching to the choir, mostly, because of the people who are here. But what we have to recognize is that the opportunity to end racism, right, to speak out against things that upset us, okay, gun control, right, killing black men, right, others, right, sister mentioned trans, you know, people. So all these things are crucial. And what I always take for myself is just thinking about individually what I can do in my community. You know, for me, it's, you know, my church, my kids' school, right? When I'm walking down the block, right? Whatever I can do individually, right? I want to make sure I put that energy into something positive and constructive, so it doesn't just become moments of rallies, right? So we can rally, right? We're in solidarity. That's what's up, right? Okay. And as everyone keeps saying, You know, people like myself, others, you know, I want to shout Steve Strymer, who's been locking down the history of Florence, the radical history of Florence for a long time. Others, right? That's right. Sojourner Truth Committee members, about to interview them for that statue in Florence and to learn about the fight to get that statue. Right? We take it for granted now, but some of us, you know, were there when people didn't want that statue. Right? So, you know, now is an opportunity for us in this moment of frustration. Whatever it takes to motivate you, right? If it's anger, hey, use it, right? Whatever it takes to motivate you to get involved. My wife and I started an event on MLK Day for kids, right? We just got the money, borrowed the spot up there, asked some of the people we know to be involved in the program, collecting money, 150 people come through, right? So it doesn't take much, y'all. You just gotta act, right? So hopefully this will get y'all, you know, if it takes, you know, this sort of thing to get you, you know, to do anything, that's great. But otherwise, I'm hoping that we'll be able to see the David Ruggles Center, about a year old, the actual physical space, finally up. It will be a space for learning this history and also for social justice, to getting together with heads, to end racism, to think about its manifestations right here in Northampton, in Florence, Hilltown, wherever we're at. To try to do that. So hopefully y'all will join me and others to make that happen. Yeah? Yeah? All right, thank you.
Our next speaker is Misha Hay, speaking on behalf of SURGE, which is Showing Up for Racial Justice, which is a national organization of groups and individuals organizing white people for racial justice through community organizing, mobilizing, and education serves a surge moves white people to act as part of a multiracial majority for justice with passion and accountability. Western Mass Surge provides a space to build relationships, skills, and political analysis to act for change.
Hi, everyone. And this is Natasha Kika with me. We're going to keep this short to make some room. But we do want to say that you've already said what we do. But we want to say that we do mourn the lives of the two black men who were murdered by police last week, Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. And I also want to bring into this space, as has already happened, Romina and Afro Panther have already said, we want to bring into this space black women and femmes, black queer people, black trans people, black disabled people who suffer a lot of violence from the state and police brutality and institutional racism every day. And we want to say their names, some of their names: Goddess Diamond, Mercedes Successful, Rekia Boyd, Shantae Isaac, Maya Young, Sandra Bland, and so many more. Institutional racism and all social oppression is deadly in many forms. We honor the dead and also the thriving, powerful movement for Black lives, which guides our work and to which our country is indebted. Black Lives Matter is asking Surge directly, and they should not have to ask, but they're asking us to engage in bold action now. So please join us. You can find us on Facebook, email us at westernmasssurge@gmail.com. Join us downtown on Saturday at 3 p.m. for a demonstration. Join our working groups. Come to a training on Sunday at 3 p.m. in East Hampton on how to have conversations with white people on race. Join us for tabling and door knocking, and come to our next meeting. If you get on our email list, we can send you details. So let's show our community and our global community that we also say Black Lives Matter.
Our next speaker is Josie Valentine, who's a city councilor in Holyoke. Josie is originally from Puerto Rico and has been a strong advocate for the Latino community as well as the LGBT community for many years. In December 2014, Josie proudly participated in the Black Lives Matter protest in Holyoke as an elected official and as a member of the community. She lives in Holyoke with her wife Miriam and their 16-year-old daughter, Natalia. Please welcome Josie.
Good evening, everyone. It's a little surreal to be here again when I was just here pretty much 3 weeks ago, speaking to many of you who are here tonight about another tragedy when we gathered here to honor the victims in Orlando. So I want to start by saying that I don't look forward to being on these steps in the sense of we wish we were in a world where we didn't have to stand on these steps and have these conversations. But the reality is that we do. And the first thing that I want to say is that a lot of you who are here tonight were here 3 weeks ago, and I appreciate that you have come back out for this conversation. But the crowd we have here tonight is not the crowd we had when we honored the victims of Orlando. And I say that because to each and every one of you in the audience and each of us here as speakers, you know, we were asked to speak because we're considered to be agents of change in this community. But the reality is that every single one of you has that same power and that same responsibility. So, as agents of change that each and every one of you are, I give you homework. And the homework is twofold. Number one, if you know folks that were here for the Honoring Victims of Orlando event and are not here tonight, have a conversation with them and ask them why they are not here tonight. Because this is really not about what community does this affect, This does not impact me. That is not something I label myself with. I don't care what the excuse is. The reality is that the common denominator is that they are social injustices, and we need to work together towards equity across the board.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. You've been listening to clips from last night's rally in front of City Hall. And I'm going to mention a couple things. It was announced by one of the speakers, by Misha, but I want to read this announcement again, that this Saturday, July 16th at 3 p.m., the Western Massachusetts chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice, the SURJ, S-U-R-J, is going to do an action. Let's line the streets of downtown Northampton. This is in front of Thorne's Marketplace Saturday afternoon, this Saturday. Let's line the streets of downtown Northampton to show our commitment to ending systemic racism by disrupting business as usual without blocking cars or pedestrians. Our aim is to come together in mourning and solidarity against racist violence in our country. Will you join us? We need to show up now. If you have any questions, you can contact westernmasssurge at gmail.com, Surge, S-U-R-J. Also coming up Saturday, this Saturday and every Saturday, the Bike Lab. I found a bike today. It looks so good, why did you throw it away? You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
So there's one more song I'd like to play. This is MC Red Eagle, Song of Survival.
We have to learn to maneuver through a linear society without completely losing ourselves in that greed, in my language, Naholo. A lover of things.
We are a people of endurance and protectors of the land, maintaining our traditions, ancient knowledge in our hands, lighting sacred fires, sustaining song and dance, enduring all oppression we would stand. This is a song of survival. Can you get with this? Indigenous revival, a movement of the people, a revolution tribal, just another song of survival. Yeah, you say you're just living life, but do you remember where you're from? Do you acknowledge all your ancestors and the children yet to come? Have you gained or retained the knowledge that the old ones hold as sacred? The teachings of how to walk in balance, see clearly and release hatred. Why do we emulate what's popular in a society that wasn't built for us or even with us in mind? So why do we participate in what's killing us? This one's for the artists, the poets, and our followers saving us. The b-boys and graphers, MCs and turntablists. The four elements are like medicine, a cultural empowerment. So keep your YOLO and swag and watch hip-hop devour it. The criticisms out of love for the things I know could be better. Ceremony is the key that unlocks knowledge beyond measure. See, I conjecture. We're changing the weather, revolutionaries adorn feathers that have never been idle, manifesting coup through lectures. Colonization, assimilation, try to erase us from this nation, but we stand here strong, singing songs of creation. Raising up our fists, raising up our fists, reaching for the stars, reaching for the stars. Defiant, we resist. revival, a movement of the people, a revolution tribal, just another song of survival. Spirit over money, teachings over law, balance over power, yeah, the empire shall fall. Manifest destiny, capitalist exploitation of nature, self-destructive destiny, manifested through hatred. Be careful, you can become this, don't take this out of context. Impotent rebellion stemming from an inferiority complex. Young one, do what you want, please don't get defensive. Just know what you put in the world has definitive consequences. Change, activist, action is the start. Not by the movement of your mouth, but the manifestation of your heart. People say that they don't see us, there's no evidence we're here. But when they look at us, they don't see us, they're only seeing their own fear. No Eiffel Tower here, no ancient towers, none. But listen for our heartbeat, you can hear it in the drum. You can see us in the land, where you stand is where we're from. Been regaining ancient knowledge, and the best is yet to come. Raising up a